Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. I'm Darren DuPont. Rod is away today. And, of course, our thoughts are with him and the Peterson family. His mom, Judy, passed away last week, as you, most of you know. And Rod's not with us today. They are celebrating the life of Judy Peterson. So thinking about all of you guys this morning, we will try and give you a little reprieve and get into some sports. We've got a Rider game tonight to preview, and we'll do that a little bit later on, too. Kelly Rempel alongside. Are you coming to Houston, Kelly? Can we get you to come to Houston?
I don't know much about the Houston.
Yeah. I mean, we just saw it on the front of the screen. But we're going to Houston. We announced our trip with Uniglobe Travel, the first annual Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience. We're going to Houston December 5th to 10th. 5 nights in the DoubleTree Suites by the Galleria. We're going to see the Houston Texans, the Denver Broncos, a game that are co-host coming in about 45 minutes. Rob Vanstone's going to be really interested in. The Broncos and the Texans will see the Houston Rockets. There's a trip to NASA that's going to be an option to be included in that as well. And I'm also told that there's some high school football championships, and the Big Ten championship is also going on down the road in Dallas. So the viewers are all over it. RodPeterson.com/trip. RodPeterson.com/trip to get involved.
I tried so hard to get a job at NASA. I really, really thought I had a chance, but I missed the job interview by that much.
Did you actually?
Do I look like somebody that would work at NASA? Kay. I'd be sweeping the floor at NASA.
I love it. What's the movie with Matthew McConaughey? Interstellar. That stuff blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like the thought of it and what's out there. And if I get thinking about it, we could waste 2 hours today just me going into the depths of my brain trying to figure out what is out there beyond our
things like that, Earth. The Kennedy Space Center. Those are the types of things that I really, really want to do at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are fascinating places to travel and visit. I'm so glad they tied that in.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
It's natural.
I think it's about a 45-minute bus ride. We'll get the tour bus, and we'll go down to NASA.
You said the December the what? The 5th?
5th to the 10th.
I'll have to see. Pencil me down.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. Again, rodpeterson.com/trip. rodpeterson.com/trip. Did you watch the NHL Awards last night?
I didn't watch the awards last night. My son was playing lacrosse in Swift Current. But what I was able to do was go on my computer this morning and watch sort of little, you know, snippets of it.
Of course, you've seen Carey Price and the wonderful moment.
You know, I'm a kind of an emotional guy anyway, so I'm probably not the right person to ask, because I tend to have I'm a bit of a softy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you could watch that and not, you know, have your eyes fill up with tears, wow. That was a powerful, powerful thing. The look on that little boy's face when he walked out of the back and onto that stage, it was just like, it puts a lump in your throat even talking about it.
I know.
And what this guy's gone through, I thought the thing at the practice was pretty cool. But for some reason, that one didn't hit me quite like this one did.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever directed that and produced that and had this idea that we're going to have this guy up on the stage and we're going to surprise him by bringing Carey out from the back, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Nikita Kucherov of the Tampa Bay Lightning took home the Hart Trophy. And Andre Vasilevsky, his Tampa Bay teammate, took home the Vezina. Barry Trotz, who went from the Washington Capitals to the New York Islanders, took home the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year. Mark Giordano of the Calgary Flames with the Norris Trophy win. That's exciting, and it'll be exciting for Peter Laborde. I know he was really excited for Gio on that one. We're going to talk to Pete a little bit later on in the show. Kucherov winning the Ted Lindsay Award as well. What else was notable? Elias Pettersson winning the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year, and Alexander Barkov taking home the Lady Bing Trophy. So NHL awards last night. What else do we have to get to? Big news in the CFL. When we were off the air yesterday, the CFL released their statement in response to the CFLPA and Simone Lawrence filing a grievance for the two-game suspension. We'll get into that. Well, this morning, minutes ago, the CFLPA has fired back at the CFL. So we'll get to those statements and we'll get the reaction.
Fired back about what?
From across the league. Well, let's get to it right now. We'll start with the CFL yesterday. The CFL released a statement after the CFLPA announced that they were going to grieve the two-game suspension. And this is the statement from Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. He says, the CFL is deeply disappointed that the CFLPA has decided to contest the league's attempt to punish and deter a dangerous play. It is highly regrettable that the association has informed us it has decided to grieve the two-game suspension the CFL has imposed on Hamilton Ticat Simone Lawrence after he struck Saskatchewan Roughrider quarterback Zach Kolaros in the head after Kolaros had given himself up by sliding feet first. We should embrace the shared responsibility to do all we can to punish and deter any play that crosses the line. It is disappointing that the union has decided to use a legal process at considerable time and expense to defend an offending player instead of standing up for the player hurt on the play. Let's use that time and money to instead work together on new ways to promote and protect all players' safety. Randy Ambrosi, CFL commissioner. So that's a statement from the league.
What is it taking? 6 minutes into the show and I'm about to go off, okay? I have nothing against unions, okay? So for all the people out there that think that I'm going to just start dumping on unions, that's not the case. I understand why we have unions. Because as my grandfather used to talk about when he worked in Vancouver at the sawmill back in the 1930s, owners of companies would just abuse people, right, that were working in these factories. And so at that point in time, you needed a union to make sure that people were treated not like animals, okay? Like the horse that, you know, you tie the ox to the wagon to the ox. And, you know, I understand why they had them. I still understand why you have them. But unions, you're supposed to defend people that have been unfairly punished. That's the point of a union, is to have people stick up for you if you have been inappropriately punished. What this idiot did is put somebody's career at risk. This wasn't a case of, well, you know, he probably led with his helmet on a football play. Those ones sometimes I understand. The game is played very quickly. You have to make a split second decision, and sometimes what your brain is telling your body that you want to do and positioning your head and all those things, it doesn't happen exactly the way that you mean for it to happen, and sometimes you lead with the helmet or sometimes there's a headshot. I get that. This was a player that gave himself up. He was sliding. There was absolutely no reason for Simone Lawrence to do what he did. It was a blatant attempt to hurt this guy. What's there to defend? Honest to God, what are you defending? What are you defending? He's guilty. Is it like there's just no? That it just. I don't understand. I don't understand why the CFLPA is taking the side of the idiot that did the crime. If I was Zach Kolaros, you know what I would say? I want my fees back. I want all my union fees back. You haven't defended me in this process. You don't care about me. Why do they take the side of the guy that did the crime? I just don't. If somebody could explain that to me, like, I understand why unions defend their clients. I get it. But when the client has done something that's so blatantly offside, like, what are you defending? Honestly. It makes me sick to my stomach, as you can tell.
Preach, Kelly. Preach.
Well, it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we, what kind of a message is that to young football players? What kind of a message is that to the fans? What kind of a message does it send to other players? That you could try to hurt a guy and end his career, potentially, and we're going to defend you because we think you were right. You weren't right, Simone Lawrence. You weren't right. It was a terrible thing to do. It was about as blatant as you can get. If I was the commissioner, I'd have given him a 5-game suspension because it's a blatant attempt to hurt somebody. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I think it's a joke that the CFL only wanted to give him a 2-game suspension. I made an analogy on my Twitter. Okay? These idiots that go through school zones at 70 kilometers an hour, if you were giving those guys $5 tickets, do you think any of them would stop?
No.
Right? Like, the nature of the type of an idiot that's going to go through a school zone driving 80 kilometers an hour, if your punishment for them was give them a $5 or a $10 ticket and say, don't do that anymore, people wouldn't slow down. But give them a $1,000 ticket. I'm not talking about 10 or 15. I'm talking about these guys that race through school zones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a deterrent. A 2-game suspension, that in itself is a joke.
This from Dave Naylor last night. For all those saying the CFL should have tried to set a precedent with Simone Lawrence suspension, he says that's exactly what they're trying to do. No player without a prior history has ever received a 2-game suspension for a hit. So this is a first. So in that sense, you know, I think the 2 games is okay. It's the process that's playing out of the appeal and this. I think we get hung up too much on the technical side of things.
How do you mean?
And the details. Well, you think about the union. Because it's in their right to grieve a player's suspension and to grieve the act and to fight it and to appeal it, we feel like we have to.
Yeah.
We stop applying common sense to the situation and we just say, well, that's the technical side. Technically, it's this. Technically, it's that. And I feel like we're in this society where everything can be scrutinized to the point of just pure frustration.
But the point is, Darren,
we lose the intent. It's the same thing when we go back to reviews in the NHL and the offside rule. The intent of the rule and the pure intention of the rule is not to pick you apart for a toe over the line or a skate above the line. It's to make it so that Daniel Briere is not 6 feet offside taking a pass, or Deschene or whoever it is that happens to take a pass 6 feet offside and score a goal. It's to avoid cheating and blatant mistakes.
Yeah,
that's not a mistake.
No, but I get what
you're saying. The league's not making a mistake here, and it's just what you said.
What's the magic answer? Okay. Where's your line in the sand in common sense? So if you go out there, and this could be anything, this could be, you know, CP Rail, this could be, you know, the public school board, it could be any unionized chop or whatever, okay? If you start getting in a habit of defending and going out and you're gonna put all of your money and your resources to defend people that have gone so far offside in what they've done, It just completely devalues the whole process, because somewhere along the way, somebody that really does deserve to be defended isn't going to be taken seriously because you just defended some moron that took 3 steps and tried to take Zach Collaros' head off when he'd already given himself up. Like, why would you defend that guy? You're going to have lots of opportunities where there might be a legitimate complaint.
Yep.
That's not one of them.
Ryan Marischak on the Facebook feed. For those of you watching on Facebook Live, join the comment section here. It's a wonderful community. Ryan says, great hashtag rant of the day, Kelly. I've also seen hashtag Rempel's rant showing up on the screen. You are 100% correct. Can Zach appeal for a longer suspension, and will the CFLPA back him? I don't know that they can do that. We'll find out. We got to take a break. Wow, like we're on to something this morning. We haven't even got to the CFLPA's response. You want to listen on the other side of the break to get this.
I'm sure it'll be real intelligent.
They are awake in Norway tonight, having trouble sleeping after listening to Kelly's rant here. We'll be joined by Dustin Nielsen from TSN Radio and the CFL on TSN at 10:30. Peter Labardius will join us after 11. And in the other chair, right beside Kelly, Rob Vanstone from
There's
the Leader
poll
Post.
Question.
He will come up. And you got a commercial break to think of a poll question.
Should unions defend jerks that blatantly disregard the rules? Is it your God-given right, if you're a member of a union, to defecate on the floor at work and then have your union come and say, well, you know what, though? It's not his fault. Somebody put X-lax in his chocolate milkshake this morning.
I need a coffee. You know? We'll be back. You're watching at Facebook Live.
Maybe not the best analogy.
And you're listening at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Canada is playing the Netherlands in FIFA Women's World Cup action. We've got it up on the screen in the studio. Canada and the Netherlands in a battle for first place in Group E. I know I haven't been watching a lot of it. We know Peter Labardius has. Anytime there's a Maple Leaf anywhere, he's paying attention. He'll join us on the program at 11 o'clock. We'll have Dustin Nielsen from TSN and TSN Radio in Edmonton on the line, on the video call at 10:30. So shortly, Darren Dupont in for Rod Peterson, who is away celebrating the life of his mom, Judy Peterson. So thoughts with the Peterson family this morning. And Rod will be back in this chair tomorrow, Kelly Rempel alongside. If you missed it, Kelly went off in the opening segment in the warm-up. When I say that, all I can think of is the Chiefs
Slapshot?
In Slapshot. In the warm-up when you come across with the clothesline when Kelly goes off in the warm-up. But, okay, so the CFL had a statement from Commissioner Randy Ambrosi shaming the CFLPA for defending or for appealing the two-game suspension. We should support the league and we should support the injured player in Zach Collaros. Well, this morning, the CFLPA responds to the statement from the commissioner's office. They said this: the commissioner's public attack on the process and the rights allotted to all CFL players as mutually agreed to in the collective agreement is both disappointing and unhelpful. There were two players involved in a play on opening night. One player was injured, and the other has since been assessed a two-game suspension. Both players have rights, and both are members of the CFL Players Association. Our commitment to player safety must be balanced by our duty to ensure every player receives fair representation when these situations happen. Generally, players have not been treated equally, and therefore unfairly by the process and by the process the commissioner currently follows in these instances. The commissioner's gratuitous attack on the rights of players is an attempt to gain a public relations advantage during a difficult situation. Just like player safety, he says the right thing in public, but the league, under his leadership, acts quite differently when it comes to implementing change.
That's just so stupid. I don't even know where to start. I really don't. I mean, I could just sit here all day and go off on this subject. I'm just going to work myself up. We got people saying that, you know, I got to get my blood pressure checked. That is just absurd. Stop telling everybody that you give a damn about player safety, because you don't. Because your one of your quarterbacks, who is a marquee player, his career might be over now because one of the clowns in your league that tried to take his head off when he slid head first. And you're defending that guy, not the guy that got hurt. You're defending the guy that hurt the guy that got hurt. So just stop talking about how much you care about player safety, because you don't care about player safety. You know, if you're willing to defend that guy, then you don't care. Did he actually say something in there while I was like looking up at the ceiling, shaking my head? Something about we have to be fair and there has to be balance?
Yes.
That's our commitment to player safety. The stupidest thing I've heard somebody say in a long time.
Must be balanced by our duty to ensure every player receives fair representation when these situations happen.
Okay, where's Zach Collaros' fair representation in all of this?
This reminds me of... It's
deliverance.
It's the process. It reminds me of that Riders Stampeders game when was there three challenges on the same play? Dave Dickinson challenged the play. Chris Jones challenged the challenge, and then Dave Dickinson challenged the challenge of the challenge, and then we had to change the challenge rule and limit the way we do these reviews. It's not the intention of the rule. The intention is to make sure we don't make massive mistakes, and it's to make sure the game is fair and balanced. It's not about using every rule and technicality to the nth degree. And that's what this feels like. I think about the NHL and all sports and officiating. And there's a rule book, and it's thick and it's big and it's got all these rules in it. Well, at the end of the day, the official's job is to apply the rules to the combined with their feel of the game to adequately govern the hockey game or the football game. It's not about making sure you call every single penalty to the degree that it is in the book. You have to have a feel for the game, because the intention and the spirit of the rules of sports is about keeping things fair and balanced. Because at one point, you and I were on the rink, on the hockey rink, and we were playing with a guy who's 6'7", 300 pounds, and all he did was shove us in the snowbank and put pucks in the net. So that's why you had to bring a referee in to make sure it was fair. Yeah, it's not about calling every little chintzy thing. It's about making sure the game is fair and balanced and nobody's cheating.
Yeah, but this falls a little bit outside of that, because you're talking about stuff that happens during the whistle.
Sure.
And I'm willing to concede that players make mistakes in the heat of battle.
Of course.
This guy, Simone Lawrence, made a terrible mistake, an unforgivable mistake. Because not only did he put his team at risk did the Riders, despite the fact not really moving the ball much on that drive, not get a touchdown because of all the dumb penalties?
50 yards of them.
Okay, so he put his team at risk, probably because the Riders may or may not have scored a touchdown on the play. But way worse than that, one of his fellow, you know, players in the league, that's supposed to be such a tightly knit group, he could have ended his career. Period. I would like to sit this moron down who wrote that statement and say, okay, let's watch this hit again. Let's watch it in real time. Let's watch it from a couple of different angles. Let's slow it down. Let's speed it up. We'll do whatever you want to do, however you want to look at this. I want you to explain to me, Mr. CFLPA guy, okay? Explain to me why the other two or three Hamilton Tiger Cats on the field had the common sense to stop, but this imbecile tried to take his head off. And then I want you to try to explain to me why you're defending him and why you think that he's not getting fairly represented. Like, if you can't give out a two-game suspension for that guy, then who's going to get a two-game suspension? What would you have to do? What would you have to do? Would you take a bat out and beat it over somebody's head in order to get a suspension in this league? First of all, a two-game suspension is a joke in itself. That's a joke.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't get 4 or 5 games is ridiculous. He got 2, which is a gift, and you're going to argue that?
Right. But that's where I get the feeling of all this technicality. We have those out there, and it's growing by the day that feel that things need to be called, penalties need to be called, and the rule book needs to be enforced to the nth degree. And that's not the spirit of the book. And it's the same with the union in this situation. You know, the union comes out and says, well, no, it's our commitment to player safety. It must be balanced, you know, by our duty to ensure every player receives fair representation when these things happen, right? It's our right to do it. Just because it's in the book and it's your right to appeal it doesn't mean you should. And
right.
It goes back to your original point. Unions are wonderful things in theory, and we need them.
Yeah, but they
get abused.
We need them. They get abused.
But they lose it in practice. Because you feel like just because it's in the book, we have to do it. Well, I'm entitled to it. And it's that entitlement that's growing in our world. A sense of entitlement. I deserve this. I want this now without earning it, without being smart about it. And that's where you lose me. And that's where they lose me.
So
right?
Let's say that you're just, let's forget about we're talking about football for a minute. Let's say we're talking about, I don't know. You work at an assembly line and you're building widgets, okay?
Where are we going?
Well, hear me out.
2 minutes.
And you got some guy that works there, and it's a union shop, okay? And he pays his fees. And he shows up late consistently, okay? One day he's late 15 minutes. The next day he's late 45 minutes. The next day he's late an hour. And he goes on, this goes on for 3 months. Would the union still go to management and say, you were wrong in suspending this guy or deducting him pay because he's late all the time? Like, where do you draw the line? Do you defend the guy that's blatantly guilty too? Because if you do that, then the guy that was late once by 5 minutes that got reprimanded, he's not taken seriously because of the guy that was late 20 days in a row. That's my point.
Yep.
Is it's like, how can you possibly defend this? It's indefensible. There's nothing to defend. The fact that he got 2 games is absurd in itself. And you're going to defend that? You should be sending a thank you card to Randy Ambrosi and saying, wow, thanks for not really giving him a serious suspension. But what do? They appeal it. It's ridiculous.
Conrad says that you need to be on the next rules committee meeting.
We're not ready for Kelly Rempel.
Scott
we're not
says,
ready for the truth.
Scott says, Simone's actions on grievance through CFLPA demonstrates... Oh, I lost it. Demonstrates he has no remorse for the hit. They're watching in Norway and they're fired up. Trent commented, and who needs a coffee after dinner when Kelly, the Silver Fox, is going off?
Well,
everybody's fired up.
It's just... This is probably the most absurd appeal I've seen in a long, long time.
Dustin Nielsen from TSN, the CFL and TSN and TSN Radio in Edmonton, is on the video call. We'll get to him next. I'm sure he's fired up about a few things.
No
Maybe
doubt.
Some Oiler-related news, too. We'll get to that, the CFL, and more on the other side. You're watching here on Facebook Live, and you're listening to The Rod Peterson Show at rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth, it's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. come see us, and prosper.
Show.
Back on the RP show, Darren DuPont and Kelly Rempel here with Rod out for the day. We've got a poll question now, finally. I've changed it in the break. We had it in the break. I don't know if we could go to this, the union. I think it's just going to be a landslide if we said that, you know, should unions always protect their, you know, grieve and stuff.
Rhetorical.
So simply this, who is more to blame? The CFL? There we go. That's what it should be. The Kelly Rempel should. So if you're watching on Facebook, should Kelly Rempel be on the CFL Rules Committee? So that's one. But here's the one that we're gonna do for the day. We should get this one up on the feed, but it's also up at rodpeterson.com. So go and vote at rodpeterson.com. Who's more to blame, Kelly? The CFL, the CFLPA, or Simone Lawrence? Quickly, because we've got to get to Dustin.
Sorry, what's the question?
Who's more to blame?
For what?
The whole situation.
Well, they hit it's Simone Lawrence, but this appeal nonsense is clearly the CFLPA.
CFLPA. There you go. All right, let's go out on the video line to Dustin Nielsen from TSN. Where are you, Dustin, today?
I'm in Vancouver right now, buddy.
You're in Vancouver getting ready for the NHL draft. First, we'll get your take on what's going on in the CFL, because I know you're a big follower of the league, and now with your added duties on the CFL on TSN, the news this morning with the CFLPA, you know, their appeal and now their statement going back at Randy Ambrosi. What do you make of all of this?
Well, you know, I almost want to plead the fifth, because my dad's actually a union rep in British Columbia, so I got to be careful what I say, because if he sees me talking bad about unions, it's not going to go over well in the Nielsen household. But there's one way you can go about doing this. A union, no matter what the union is, I mean, 99% of the time they're going to defend, you know, the member of that union. I understand that. The statements, I don't know if those have to be out there. Here's the easy solution for it. There's a process in place. You want to appeal it, you appeal it, that's fine. The league can just stay quiet and say, okay, well, you can appeal it, but it's still going to be a 2-game suspension. We'll go about our business. I think that would have been the right way to go about it. I would agree with what you guys are saying. I thought it would have been the worst thing in the world if it was a little bit of a heavier-handed suspension. In a league nowadays in which, you know, they're doing everything they can to get that type of play out of there, for it to happen basically on the first series of the entire season is absolutely ridiculous, and you would want Lawrence to know better. But I don't know why this situation needs to get blown up by both sides here. To me, it almost seems like lingering issues from the CBA negotiations being brought back to the forefront. And to be honest with you, I don't like seeing it take the spotlight away from a season trying to get off to a fresh start with a lot of good stories out there. So it's a little frustrating. I wish, and you know what, when they first appealed it on my morning show in Edmonton, I guess it would have been yesterday morning, I was like, man, you know, I wish they didn't appeal it, like just accept the two and move on. I wish that's what would have happened, but I understand why a union wants to defend their guy, but the CFL simply could have said, you know what, we don't agree with it, but you're still going to be two-game suspension and go about your way. So hopefully this doesn't drag on too long, but I can see why everybody's so frustrated.
So I have a question for you. What would your dad say about the fact that the victim is not being represented fairly? What would a
you
union...
That's a really good point. That's 100% a good point, which is why it's difficult in these situations, because you're representing one side, you know, one member, but what about the other member? I think I heard you say, I was listening for a little while there, what about Zach Collaros? Who was supposed to represent Zach Collaros? And the key here is that the league and the players together have put this in place to be the proper way to represent Zach Collaros, in the fact that, well, not Zach Collaros, but to avoid these types of things moving forward with the suspensions. But you're right. You make a great point. I mean, this is a union representing one of their guys in a case against one of their other guys, kind of, when you look at the way the hit was. So, like I said, it's my dad's thing. It's not really my thing, but I'm going to ask him that question a little bit later on, to be honest with you, because I think it's a good one.
That's awesome. Dustin, how big are your hands? Every time you go up to the screen, your hands look huge because you're so close to the camera.
I'm moving my hands towards the camera. I'll try to go slow. I'm a hand stalker, man. I'll try to keep them busy.
So you're in Vancouver for the draft. That means you're not calling the Riders and Red Blacks tonight, but you do have a heavy schedule. Is it 9 games on your schedule?
Yeah, I think it's 8 or 9 games. Last I heard it was 8 or 9 games. My next game is actually a Red Blacks game, and my first game was a Riders preseason game. So I guess it kind of ties in. I get the Red Blacks and the Alouettes on July 13th in Ottawa, I believe, is my first regular season the game. And then I get a couple in August, a couple in September, a couple in October type of thing, and one in November. I think I get the Riders and Eskimos in November. So I'm pretty excited about that game. I get a Riders Eskimos game in I think it's early November, November 2nd, in Regina, an afternoon game, I think. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm still going to have a few free weekends to still work some university games too. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That was my next question. Did you have any weekends free to come and join Dunk and I and do our Canada West route?
I think there's 3 or 4 regular season weekends and Hardy Cup weekend, I'll be free. So I said, if you still have me, I'd love to do it. Cause, we have a good time. I like our crew. I think we got a pretty good broadcast crew, you, Dunk and I together. So, I'm hoping to still do some games, and hopefully we can make that work.
Your kids will never see you. You're going to be gone every weekend.
Oh, that's a major issue. Now, luckily for my kids, I'm home every day by like 11:30 during the week. So I'm home from like noon on pretty much, except for all the days I'm not in town. So they've got a really good mom, and there's FaceTime so we can do things like this, but with my kids, you know?
That's really cool. Really cool. Yeah, you got to start doing the Spengler Cup, now the CFL on TSN. What else is on the TV side of the TSN duties that you've kind of expanded to?
Well, I'm not too sure now moving forward. I did the Canada Games in Red Deer in February, and that was pretty cool. Have you ever broadcast short track speed skating before?
Because no.
I hadn't, and I went and did it, and it was it was really fun. I did squash. I did badminton. There was a bunch of different things there, so that was cool. I wouldn't mind doing the summer games, but that's not until I think 2021 in Niagara. So a little bit of time for that. So I think my focus right now for the next 3-4 months here will be the Canadian Football League, and a great opportunity. I got to work with Glenn Suter in my first game, it didn't go well for the Riders, obviously, but Suits was amazing to work with. He's an absolute legend. I had a chance to hang out with him a little bit, and I'm really looking forward to having the opportunity to work with all those guys in that crew and cover an amazing league.
What a treat. My biggest regret is that I never accepted when I got asked to do play-by-play for Killabot Wars at the University of Saskatchewan in their engineering department. That would have been the craziest one for me to call when you talk about alternative events.
Yeah, the first broadcast I ever did actually was that I got paid to do out of school. I did play-by-play for sprint car racing. And I'd never seen a sprint car race before. It's the little cars with the wings on top that fly around. I'd never seen it. I rolled out to Drayton Val, Alberta here to do it. And John Short, who's a legend in Edmonton and, well, any sports talk, he was my color guy on it. And it was amazing. So it's kind of fun doing things that you're not very familiar with and see how you handle it.
All right, let's talk NHL for a little bit because the NHL draft is coming up tomorrow. Will Jesse Puljujärvi be traded on the draft floor? Is that why you're there?
Well, he is my guy. I'm probably the biggest supporter of Jesse Puljujarvi, and maybe on the planet, to be honest with you. So I've taken it hard the last 24 hours or so, but I don't think he's going to be traded on the draft floor. I'm not sure he's going to be traded at all before the season even begins. Ken Holland, you know, talked to a few people yesterday and said that, you know, he's not going to be in a rush to trade him. If the right deal is there, they'll probably pull the trigger on something. Jesse Puljujarvi on the ice, it hasn't gone that well for him. On the ice, I look at it a little bit, and I mean, his most common line mate through his first 3 years was Milan Lucic. So I don't know if that's the right position to put a 18 or 19 year old kid in, and he didn't get very much power play time at all. And when he was on the power play, he was in some weird spots. So on the ice, I don't think they managed him very well. But he also is a little bit of an odd duck off the ice, and I don't know if he's fit in too well in the dressing room. And I think that's one of the reasons, because I mean, if you look at it, if he wants a fresh start somewhere, he has an opportunity to get a fresh start in Edmonton because they've got Ken Holland now. So to me, if it's about a fresh start, I'm not sure I'm buying into it because he's going to get that in Edmonton. So I have a feeling he doesn't fit in too well in the Oilers locker room and would like a fresh start somewhere else.
At what point do you think, because he said he's going to play in Europe, if he does not get a deal done to get out of Edmonton, when do you think he would make that decision? How long does Ken Holland have?
Well, I think Ken Holland probably doesn't have much of a rush at all. I mean, it basically comes down to when it's time to report to training camp or not for the Oilers. And because they'll have to qualify him. Yeah, he's an RFA, so they'll have to give him a qualifying offer to maintain his rights. And then Jesse Puljujarvi can take that qualifying offer. He can accept it or he cannot accept it and to go play in Europe, which, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. If you actually look at it, he should maybe only be coming over to North America right now, to be honest with you. I mean, in a perfect world, after you've seen how they've not properly developed him over the last 3 years, it might have been better to... If you look at guys like Saku Koivu, Miku Koivu, even Sebastian Aho, these guys didn't come over here until they were 20, 21 years old, right? So it wouldn't be the end of the world. If he went to play with Jokerit in the KHL, it's a team actually that's owned by Yari Curry, who obviously has ties to the Oilers, so they could keep tabs on him. So
sure,
it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but that might be the best route to go right now.
I'd be curious to get your thoughts. You know, how many times have we had this conversation over the last decade about the optimism or lack thereof of Edmonton Oilers fans? Because it just seems like there's just been so many resets. We've hit the reset button so many times. I started to get the feeling a year or so ago that people... I don't want to say apathy was setting in, but it's kind of got to that point where it's like, we've been down this road with changes so many times, I'll believe it when I see it. But I do get the sense that with the Ken Holland signing, that people actually think that maybe this is the time that they could get this thing turned around. Do you get that sense?
I do get that sense. I get that sense from a lot of the fans who, I think you're right. I mean, apathy's not the worst word in the world. I mean, they were a little bit concerned about season ticket renewals, which hasn't been an issue considering, you know, the struggles that they've had. The support from the fans have been there. But as an organization, I think they were a little bit worried about that. I think as of like 3 weeks ago, they were only at an 80% renewal because people wanted to see which way this organization was going to head. And then they go out and they bring in Ken Holland. And Ken Holland takes a little bit of time and he brings in Dave Tippett. And you've got two very experienced guys. And I came to Edmonton in 2009, so about 10 years ago. And we've seen this reset with coaches a number of times, way too many times. But with Peter Chiarelli, when they brought him in, it was the same sort of thing for the first little while. Like, okay, yeah, this is going to be the one. They're getting McDavid. They've got Chiarelli. They brought in Tom McClellan. And then sure enough, here we are talking about it again, you know, 3-4 years later. So, you know, it's a matter of, I think that you still have that optimism. And this is completely justified, is the fact that you have Connor McDavid on your team. And 2 years ago, you know, he led them to a playoff spot and very close to a conference final. With the same blue line that they have right now, the six same defensemen that took them to the playoffs a couple years ago are still there. So, you know, they're capable of it if they can get some goaltending. So, you know, Ken Holland's got some work to do for sure. But if he can just make one or two minor moves that's seen in a positive light, I think it'll go a long way in Edmonton.
I just wanted to finally ask you, we had Dave Tippett on this program earlier in the week. How have those hires been received? Are people excited about Dave Tippett and Ken Holland?
Well, people are a little skeptical about anything the Oilers do. One of the things with Holland when they brought him in, having full autonomy of doing everything. And I asked him the day he was hired if he would have come here if he didn't have full autonomy. And he said, no. He goes, I wasn't coming in here unless I could make changes. So I mean, that was a good step. But then Craig McTavish just kind of ups and leaves to go coach in the KHL. And he's a guy who a lot of people have been saying, you know, it's not going to really change till he's gone. And then Dwayne Sutter, who'd been around for 9 years, he was let go. So they started to see some changes at other levels of the organization that they didn't really change, even when Peter Chiarelli came in. I think that's been a positive. And the Dave Tippett hire is an interesting one because he's obviously a guy who's had longevity in both of the spots that he went. He's had some really, really, really good players, but he's never had Connor McDavid to work with, especially in Arizona and Phoenix when he was there last. They basically, I mean, outside of Ray Whitney having one good season with Radim Verbata, I mean, last 4 years he was in Arizona, their top four scorers was Keith Yandel twice and Oliver Ekman-Larsson twice. So he didn't have a ton to work with there offensively. So I think people are kind of excited to see what Dave Tippett can do.
I am too. Great having you on, Dustin. Enjoy the West Coast and can't wait to see you in the fall.
Hey, did you ask Tippett about his mustache? Did you ask if he was going to grow his mustache back?
We didn't.
Ah,
we'll have to get him back on the line and we'll find out.
Everybody wants that mustache.
You're Dustin, would you be kind enough, and I say this in all sincerity, would you be kind enough to send me a tweet or DM me with what your dad's response is on the Zach Kolarek? Because I am genuinely interested in that.
Yeah, I'll fire him a text right now. And he usually texts me back pretty quick. So I'll make sure you guys find out.
Give him a disclaimer. Let him know what he's in for.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Dustin. Appreciate that. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Dustin Nielsen from TSN Radio in Edmonton and the CFL on TSN, one of their new bright young stars, calling play-by-play this year. Rob Vanstone has joined the set. He is on the couch, and he's ready to go to Houston because he's got the Broncos hat on today. So that's awesome. We'll get to that, and we'll get to more of your thoughts in the Facebook feed, too. Steven says, I am loving having a sports show, I assume, in the AM. Great show. So I appreciate you watching and listening, Stephen, wherever you may be. Join the program. We always want to know where you're watching the show from. It was great last week when I did the show. You guys were sending your pictures in from the Combine and from wherever else.
Awesome. So,
from what?
Norway.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. Hello, Norway. I know you're getting ready to go to bed. Hang with us here. We got another 75 minutes or so on the show left. But again, let us know where you're watching the show from. Snap a pic, tweet us at Rod Peterson Show, or you can send us an email, rpshow@dupontmedia.ca, and let us know where you're watching from, because we see the comments, but we never know what Coffee Row really looks like. All right, Rob Vanstone, Kelly Rempel on the other side of the break. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and you're listening at rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca. Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.